Good morning. My name is Jennifer Lindsay, for those who don't know. And I also want to give gratitude and thanks to my fellow readers. We prayed a lot, we spoke a lot, we shared some very intimate thoughts and stories and fears, and I think that all of us had a wonderful experience through the past year and a half. So one lesson in observing spirit, each chapter has lessons which has homework around the lesson, and I want to focus on one of them. It addresses the loving and understanding of the neighbor. So as John 13, verse 34 to 35 says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. So loving the neighbor is a long road. It's a big undertaking. And for the neighbor is any and all of God's children. I don't get to pick who my neighbor is. I don't get to pick who I have to love to be God's disciple. Everyone deserves my love. Because as all people are from God, all people have God within them, and all people have love and good within them. Per Swedenborg, to love a neighbor is to do what is good, fair, and right. And to do what's good, fair, and right in every deed towards your neighbor. And we are required to love the good in others in order to accomplish this good, fair, and right activity. But one distinction to be made is to love the neighbor is not to love any bad behavior, and to make a distinction there. And part of our work, the big W work, is to be able to differentiate the good from the bad and focus your love on the good without enabling the bad. And again, there is good in everyone, for everyone comes from God and everyone has God within them. Another component of our charge, with that piece in mind, also comes from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, do not judge so that you may not be judged. So this partly stems from our innate inability to completely and fully understand anyone's intention of their behavior, behind their behavior. So I think of situations where my behavior may not be fully aligned with my intention, and how that could be seen or judged by another. I think of the situation where I'm having a conversation with someone and I have other things on my mind that are causing me to not be fully present and fully available to that conversation. And I think to myself, that person could, and rightly so, judge me as being inconsiderate, uncaring, not interested. When in actuality, my intentions are to be caring, considerate, and available. However, at that point in time, I'm just physically and emotionally and mentally unable to portray that intention. I think of situations where someone else may have a behavior that I may start trying to judge, an intention that I don't have any access to knowing. And what I try to do as part of my practice, and again, guilty as charged, not always good at this, is I try to create an attention, and it's like I'm creating a backstory for what the behavior is, to give me space to be loving and empathetic and accepting of that person. So an example could be I'm driving on a road, I see someone driving very erratically, cutting people off, not signaling, speeding, whatever the case is. And immediately I could jump into the frame of mind, oh, what a jerk, inconsiderate, not paying attention, not being safety-minded for others. But if I just take a step back and use the pause, as Beth so well described, and allow myself to separate from that immediate emotion, and allow myself to create a backstory, which has no truth in it, but it allows me to have space to love and accept, I create a backstory for myself. Oh, that person must be racing to the hospital because of an imminent birth of a child, or someone is injured and they need to go see them. Or that person is racing because they realize they're late for a job interview and they really need this job to care for their family economically. And once I create that backstory in my mind, all the judgment, anger, irritability disappears. And this just, I call it a blossoming of love and peace and acceptance and connectivity to that neighbor comes to be. And what's interesting is this is someone, you know, 99 times out of 100, I've never met before. I will never meet again. I don't even know that person's name, but I have this universal connection to them through the love that's been able to be created by allowing the Lord's work to occur. And when that happens, and again, not every day, I feel I've taken a small step to being a disciple of the Lord.